Chapter 8, Drugs and Children, Another Type of Insanity. I know parents who put a World War I gas mask on their 5-year-old son and watched him smoke marijuana. Parents conflicted with drug addiction may make many bad decisions regarding their children. There are parents and caregivers who have had sex with their own 2- and 3-year-old children. One of my guardian ad litem case families prostituted their 6-year-old daughter. Drugs were involved. 5-month-old Janie was the youngest of 4 children. On a freezing January day, when her mother was out cold from her crack-induced stupor, Janie's 9-year-old cousin Sharon set her in the tub to wash some of the crusty 4-day-old feces off of her. Sharon turned on the cold and the hot water, half-filled the tub, and placed the baby into the water. Janie had been crying all morning, so her screams did not register to the young cousin that perhaps the cold water didn't work, and the 161-degree hot water was burning the skin off of this 5-month-old baby. Janie still has terribly disfigured legs 10 years later. There was no food in the house, and several of the children suffered from lead poisoning. The court removed the children from the home after determining there had been repeated abuse and neglect of the children for many years. The police had been to this house on several occasions and observed the condition of the children. The doctrine of imminent harm forbade them from removing the children from the home. Leaving a child in the home until they are in imminent harm is a bankrupt social policy. Most other industrialized nations remove children who are endangered by their parents in a timely fashion. The American doctrine of imminent harm guarantees that children will suffer much more serious neglect and abuse before the county can act to save a child. 2 key differences between the rest of the industrialized world and American policy that could alter the results we are getting in our schools, cities, and prisons are the doctrine of imminent harm and recognizing the importance of mental health services provided in a timely fashion. Think about your own son being taken from you and raised by a mentally unstable drug-addicted family, where he is terribly abused for 4 years and then returned to you to parent. Clearly, you would not know your own child. Clearly, you would need all the professional support available to help your child unlearn the gross and unbearably painful behaviors he had learned in order to survive. How do you unteach learned sexual behaviors? How do you deprogram a small child's drug use and familiarity with violence, sex, and drugs that has become a normal part of each day? Quote, increasingly, as police fight against the growing methamphetamine scourge, they find children living in a nightmarish world of bizarre behavior by addicted parents amid chemicals so toxic that authorities sometimes must hose down terrified children before they can put them in a car and take them to a foster home. Authorities tracking meth arrests in Minnesota in recent years say that children have been present in at least 30% of the cases, with the figure reaching as high as 50% in some years. In 2 cases in Colorado, babies died when their strung-out mothers mistakenly fed them from bottles in which they stored liquid meth next to other baby bottles in the refrigerator. We are seeing cases of acute hepatitis and acute kidney damage in children coming from these meth lab homes. Chemicals used to make meth have burned children's hands and faces and put them at risk for organ and brain damage, respiratory ailments, and other problems. Children are at risk of being injured by meth cooking explosions or by the loaded guns and other weapons often kept by meth users. Children are often neglected for days by parents locked in a cycle of binge and sleep, with sometimes violent mood swings in between. Unquote. From the Minneapolis Star Tribune, September 22, 2004. Does it make sense for states to have a standard set of procedures for helping meth-endangered children? Should children have the right to grow up in homes where meth is not manufactured? According to Joseph Califano, Jr., parents who abuse drugs and alcohol are 3 times more likely to physically or sexually assault their children, and children of substance-abusing parents are 4 times more likely to be victims of neglect. If there is to be any hope of preventing child abuse and preserving the natural family unit, he points out, child welfare workers must be trained to detect substance abuse. Young children have no place to hide from drug-abusing parents. Today, the average age of abused children of substance-abusing parents is under 5. There are about 400,000 children in foster care every year. 500,000 babies are born each year exposed to cocaine and other illicit drugs. Over 600,000 babies are born to drinking mothers every year. 137,000 of them are drinking heavily. Fetal alcohol syndrome is the number one cause of mental retardation in America. Each year, over 20,000 babies are abandoned or taken from substance-abusing parents at the hospital. All other industrialized nations do more to lift their children out of poverty than the United States. This according to author David Strand from the book Nation Out of Step. America has more financial resources than any other nation. The state of California has a greater gross domestic product than all but 6 other nations. Call to action. Become aware of the suffering inflicted upon the children of drug-addicted people in your community. Find out the birth rate of fetal alcohol births at the hospitals in your community and make it known to the media. Many models used by other industrialized nations are working to lift children out of poverty to create a level playing field for invisible children to play on. Each of us can be part of some church, some socially responsible group, or personally see that some child in our community has the benefit of our effort. Work to make life better for the children of alcoholics and drug addicts.